They tell me this is next to the last chapel service of the year. Is anybody excited about summertime? Well, some of us are. All right. It is good to be here this morning. I sure do like preaching to young people. Some of them older folks, they'll turn their hearing aids off and they won't, but you don't have any excuse. You can't do that. So you have to listen this morning. It's good to be here. And it's good to be saved. And I'm thankful to be a part of the family of God. Thank you for letting me be a part of this chapel service this morning. And looking forward to what the Lord will do. If you got your Bible, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter number 16. Very familiar scripture. Probably everybody in the room this morning has heard and or read the scripture. We'll ask the Lord to let us see it in a fresh light. All right, if you're able, willing, I'll ask you to stand with me. We'll reverence the reading of the King James Bible. After the reading, we'll remain standing for a word of prayer. And you pray for your own heart. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart today as we pray together. Luke chapter number 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. That's a reference to the Bible, to the Old Testament of the Bible. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for Calvary and I thank you for the blood. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us and the fresh mercies that you've made ours. Lord, I pray now that the good Holy Ghost would settle in on this place. Lord, I pray you'd help us. God, do for us those things that we need. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I come to you this morning opening my heart toward heaven and asking you, Lord, to speak to me. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd open your word to our hearts and help us now, Lord, that we'd hear from the heaven's portals. God, I pray today, Lord, if there's sinners among us, God, if there's young folks here that's never been saved, Lord, that today would be the day that you'd open the door, show them themselves, God. You'd stir their hearts toward Calvary this morning, I pray. Lord, I pray, God, if we need rebuking, you'd rebuke us. If we need exhorting, you'd exhort us. God, whatever we need, Lord, I pray you'd be just that to us. Lord, I invite the good Holy Ghost to come in and hijack the service and do with it what you see fit. Thank you, Lord, for this place and for this school, for these students who are here. God, I pray, God, now that you'd work effectually among us. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, I need help. Lord, you know I'm in way over my head. I need help today. I pray, God, for unction from heaven. I pray, Lord, that you'd put a guard at my lips and let Holy Ghost preaching pour off my tongue for just a little while. Help us now. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We'll bless your name for it. And we won't put our hands on the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Very familiar scripture. And there's a lot of meat here. Let me say, first of all, this is not a parable. We understand Jesus taught so many times by means of parables. A parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And most of the time when Jesus speaks in parables, he'll say or he'll precede it with something like the kingdom of heaven was likened unto, and then give his story. But notice this doesn't happen. There's a certain rich man and there's a certain beggar. This is not a parable. This is a historical event. This actually took place. We understand this took place prior to the death of Christ. So this is still Old Testament times. But I want to draw some parallels, some things that we can get some help from. There's several things we could talk about this morning. You notice how when the rich man died, he was buried. And when Lazarus died, he was carried. We could preach on dead and buried or dead and carried. Thank God I've got a reservation made for some transportation when I pass on. Amen. I thank God I got it settled a long time ago. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. Somebody say amen. Thank God I'm looking for transportation out of here when either I die or the Lord comes in the rapture. We could talk about that. Then notice over in verse 25, Abraham, speaking to the rich man, said, "Son, remember." That's the rich man's last message. As a lost person, that's the last time we have any account or any record that he heard anything from God or any of God's representatives. And there's coming a day every lost person will hear their last warning, their last message. For the rich man, it was too late. But I want to preach this morning on this thought, why the rich man went to hell. What happened? What caused this rich man to go to hell? Anybody got any ideas? Anybody know? We understand and know anybody who's not saved goes to hell when they die. Is that right? Y'all nod your head at me. Let me know you're still awake. If I catch you nodding, I'm going to come sit in your lap and preach. Amen. Anybody who dies outside the blood of Jesus goes to hell when they die. And hell is a real place with a real flame where real people go and spend a real eternity. Amen. Somebody said you believe that? I really do. Amen. Just as much as there is a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun. Amen. Matter of fact, the majority of the times that Jesus preached in the New Testament, his topic was not heaven. It was more often than not the topic of hell. And if it was good enough for Christ to preach, I'll say it's good enough to preach in 2013. Amen. Why did this rich man go to hell? First of all, I want to say, could it have been because of a carnal Lazarus? A carnal, a physical, a one who was unspiritual Lazarus. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 20. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now, if we were to turn left and go back in the Word of God to the book of Psalm, chapter number 37 and verse 25, David said this: "I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." And one fellow said, that's a contradiction in the Bible, and we know that's not the case. There's not one single contradiction in the Word of God. What does that say to us then? Obviously, Lazarus was not righteous. Amen. Now, he might have been a part of the right family. He might have been in a part of the church. He might have been headed the right way, but he was not righteous. Amen. You can be saved and not be a Christian. Y'all all right with that? Everybody look up here and let me help you. There's a difference in being saved and being a Christian. A Christian lives Christ-like. A Christian tries their best to align with the precepts of this book. A saved person has merely accepted Christ. Now, I do believe that when you get the Lord, when he moves
leaves them, there'll be a change. But not every person who's headed for heaven is living Christ-like. Could it have been Lazarus was so carnal that he didn't do anything to reach that lost rich man? He's laid at the rich man's gate full of sores. And there he is every day, no doubt, probably at least twice a day, that rich man passes right by Lazarus. Here's Lazarus laid at the gate. And the rich man goes out in the morning, walks right by him. And what's Lazarus doing? He's got his cup, maybe, we don't know. He's begging. He's looking for something for him. And he never one time tells the rich man about God. He never one time tells him about his destination after death. He never one time says anything other than about himself. Ain't that about the way we live? We run into and cross paths with people every single day. Well, one day, if they don't change, if God don't save them, they will spend eternity in hell. And so many times, all we're interested in is what's in it for me. What can I get? I, me. God help us if we've got an I, me attitude. We're going to reach nobody for the cause of Christ. Everybody in here who's saved, wave at me. Everybody who's been saved, wave at me. What are you doing? What are you saying to those you're coming in contact with, from the very youngest who's saved to the very oldest in the room? It's our responsibility to share Christ. But so many times we just want to fit in. We just want to scoot back into the shadows. Isn't it amazing how everybody wants to stand out and be the star where the world expects us to be? But in those areas where it's embarrassing to us, we want to slip back into our shell and not do anything to draw attention to us. God help us. It's our duty, it's our responsibility to stand out among a world that's headed for hell and let them know about the blessed hope that lies within us. Somebody said, I don't know how to witness. I don't know how to tell anybody to get saved. It's real easy. You just tell them what God did for you, what happened to you, and God can do the rest. Amen. I'm talking about carnal, not living spiritually. Lazarus said to give me. Give me what's coming to me. Give me something to help me. And not one single time can we find evidence that Lazarus offered anything what that rich man had, Lazarus wanted, but he couldn't have. But what Lazarus had, he didn't make it to where that rich man even cared about it. He didn't even know he had it. And what the rich man had was temporary. It was just here for a little short time. When he died, he didn't carry any of his goods with him. He had plenty while he was in this world, but the moment he died, he didn't take anything with him. But what Lazarus had as a beggar was eternal. It was forever. Let me say today, what you've got as a saved person is forever. It's eternal. You walk up and down the halls. Not everybody raised their hand earlier. There's people looking at you. There's people in your life every day. Every student in here, every teacher, every faculty member, every person in here runs across lost people on a daily basis. Are we doing anything to reach them? Carnal Lazarus. A carnal. Could it have been not only a carnal Lazarus, could it have been a careless friend? Amen. Could it have been a careless friend? Where was Lazarus' church? Where was Lazarus' friends? Where was all the other people who were headed the same direction Lazarus was? Maybe Lazarus messed up. Maybe something happened and Lazarus made a mistake somewhere and his friends just turned their back on him. And that's why he's laid over there begging. That's why he's left without anything. And let me say, if there had been a friend who come by, anybody ever read or heard the story of the Good Samaritan? Y'all wave at me. Amen. Let me know you're still awake. Anybody ever heard that? There was one who came by after that, Levite came by, and after that, all those others came by and passed right on by. There was one who stopped by where he was, bent down into the ditch, didn't care to get his hands dirty, didn't care to get the blood of that injured person on him, bent down where he was, lifted him up, set him on his beast, carried him to the inn. Hey, because because he had a love in his heart for somebody else. Amen. So many times our friends will mess up. They'll do things that are uncool. They'll get out and they'll mess up in sin. Look up here and let me help you. Not one single one of us is immune from sinning. You can commit every sin as a saved person that you did as a lost person. Somebody nod your head. Amen. You can mess up. You can get in a mess. God help us. What happens when you do that? Everybody seems to want to turn their back on you and forget about you. Why don't we be that one who'll go down by the rich man's gate, get down there where Lazarus is, and pick him up and say, we know you messed up, but we love you down here. Come on back and let us be a help to you. Could it have been, Brother Greg, if they had a went after him, if his friends who knew God had a went by there, that God, I just believe it's about like God to send that rich man by about the time they get there. Number one, he's going to see them loving on Lazarus and think, boy, nobody does that for me. Nobody cares about me. I have to take care of myself. Number two, might it have been that while they're down there loving on Lazarus and taking care of Lazarus, could it have been that God would have sent him by and opened the door for them to allow them to share the gospel, to share the good news with that rich man. So many times we miss opportunities. Like what Brother Greg said earlier, if you'll allow God to, he'll put things in your path to allow you to witness for him. Amen. Lost opportunities are countless. It's amazing how many lost opportunities we have that we could say something for God. We could do something for God. We could share the good news of God with somebody, but we sit with our mouths closed and we sit withdrawn and don't want to say anything. Could it have been careless friends, friends that didn't care? Thank God, I'm glad there is a friend in this book that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. He'll go with us through the sixth trouble, won't forsake us in the seventh. He's there to be our friend through thick and thin, through good and bad, through up and down. When things are up, he's God. When things are down, he's still God. When we're doing right, he's God. When we're not doing right, he's God. He was God when we were lost. He's God after we're saved. And he'll be a friend to us. He'll come to our rescue if we'll just call his name. Amen. Carnal Lazarus could have sent the rich man to hell. It's going to be a sad day when it comes judgment day. And we stand back as the redeemed, as saved, and witness that great white throne judgment. How many we have sent to hell. And carnal Lazarus, a careless friend. Could it have been a carefree attitude that sent the rich man to hell? Could it have been on that rich man's part? Nah, I'll get saved one day. I've got everything I need. He fared sumptuously every day. In the 2013 language, he had it all. Amen. He had everything he could want, everything he needed, everything he could imagine. Everything was right at his fingertips. I'm not that way, and you may be or you may not be, but that rich man had everything he wanted, anything he needed. He fared sumptuously every day. That gives us the idea that he didn't need or want anything. He had it all, and maybe he was trusting in that. He said, one of these days somewhere on down the road, when I get older, when I get gray in my hair, when I'm on a cane and got a hearing aid, I'll get things right with God. I'll get things settled. But as for right now, I still got a few wild oats I want to sow. I still got a little bit of living I want to do, a few things I got left I want to do. God help us. We better remember the scripture says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hey, it's all right. Them that's getting saved, that's got white in their hair, praise God, they outlived statistics. Amen. Statistically speaking, if you get that age, if you get up in your 60s, 70s, 80s, in the grand scheme of things, statistically speaking, you probably aren't going to get saved if you're not already. But glory to God for them that do. But why don't we give God our heart and our life while we're yet that young? Why is it we want to spend our entire lives spending ourselves the devil, living to ourselves, living unto the devil, living those things that we know are contrary to the Bible and to God? Why do we want to give everything we got while we're still young and strong and we're still able to see and hear and we're still able to labor? Why don't we give those years to God? Hey, you don't have to wait until you're 70 years old to walk with God. Everybody look up in here. You don't have to wait until they call you granny or grandpa to have a walk with God. You don't have to wait until you're so old that you can't do anything else but sit around in a rocking chair. Until you give your heart to God, you can begin today. I was praying last night. I said, God, I don't know who will be in that room. As far as futuristically speaking, I don't know. There may be missionaries in here. There may be pastors in here. There may be missionaries' wives that are sitting in here that God is yet to call. There may be Christian business people. Let me say this. Don't give your life to the devil. Don't waste your life while you've got your youth, while you've got your ability. Don't have that carefree attitude and say, one day I'll give my life to God. One day I'll sell out. You may be saved, but not sold out to Him. And you're saying, one day I'll sell out when I've done what I want to do. This rich man, no doubt, died a premature death. He went on out of this world early in life and went to hell with good intentions of getting saved. I wonder how many's in hell today screaming out in the flames saying, I meant to get right. I meant to get saved. I didn't want to come here. I had plans of getting saved. Nay, we better remember it's appointed unto man once to die. It is an appointment we will meet. Amen. A carefree attitude. Careless friend, a carnal Lazarus. All these things could have contributed to putting the rich man in hell. Are all these things contributing to putting your family members, your friends, your classmates, all those things, are all those things contributing, adding to those people going to hell? If Jesus had 12 and one of them's in hell today, Judas, he was a son of perdition. If one out of 12 of Jesus' disciples were bad, I wonder how many's in here that's on their way to hell. I wonder how many in here have heard the call. God has dealt with your heart. He has shown you that you're lost. He has revealed Himself to you, and He has shown you yourself and your need of a Savior. And yet you have ignored that. And if you died this very instant, if Christ return this very instant, if the trumpet sounded before I get done preaching, you will have to say, I meant to get things right. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be left behind. What you are when you draw your last breath is what you'll be through eternity. There's no future hope in death. Death does not change your eternal destination. It seals your eternal destination. Let me give you one more. Now quit. Look at verse number 24. Everybody still got your Bible open? Luke 16:24. And he cried and said, Father. If he stopped right there, it'd have been all right. He said, Father Abraham. What's he doing praying to Abraham? Number four, and I'll quit. Could it have been a counterfeit religion that sent his soul to hell? Father Abraham. Could it have been he's praying to Abraham in hell because he prayed to Abraham in life? Amen. Does that make sense? Don't nod your heads up and down at me. I think you're going to sleep. Amen. Don't just nod them and leave them there, but nod them up and down. Amen. Could it have been that he's got a counterfeit religion? He's living something that's not truth. Jesus plus anything or minus anything is a cult. Amen. Y'all all right? There's far more cults in this world than just the Satanist church or just the occult. There's a lot more. Anything that adds to or takes away from salvation by grace through faith is a cult. Amen. Anything that says you have to be washed in water to get saved, that's a cult. Now, we believe in believer's baptism. A lot of folks ain't been baptized in believer's baptism. They got dunked before they got saved and all they got was wet. Amen. But when you get saved, you follow the Lord in believer's baptism by immersion. That's the way John baptized. That's the way our Bible teaches. But anybody who trusts that baptism to get them to heaven, and there's people, there's churches or places of worship all over our land, whole denominations or whole outfits that are clinging to solely baptism to get them to heaven. Hey, you can be baptized in every creek, every branch, every river, every lake. You can know every tadpole in Carroll County on a first name basis and still die and go to hell. Amen. It takes the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about us, it's not what I can do, it's not how good I can be, it's not how right I can live. It's based on the holy blood of the perfect sacrifice that gave himself on Calvary. A lot of folks are clinging to a counterfeit religion. Look up in here. Just because you hold a King James Bible in your hand does not mean you're going to heaven. Now, if you get saved, you'll find you a King James Bible because it is the Word of God. Amen. There is no other Word of God for English-speaking people. That is the Bible. But just because you've got a King James on your arm does not mean you're going to heaven. Just because you sing the old time songs of Zion does not mean you're going to heaven. Amen. That's the only songs, as far as I'm concerned, them old time songs. I'm old fashioned on purpose. Amen. I'm not accidentally old-fashioned. I'm old-fashioned on purpose. And it's been that good so far, and I'm going to stay that way. Amen. And if any of you in this room, I issue a challenge. Anybody hears old Brother Kirk's done went another way, I want you to take your mama or daddy's shotgun, come and find me, and bring me down here. Tie me up, set me on the front pew, and let Brother Kelly preach the devil out of me. Amen. I'm going to stay old-time. I'm going to stay old-fashioned. It's been good enough so far, and it'll be good enough the rest of the way home. A lot of people are simply clinging to old time religion only and never been regenerated. We're living in a generation of people who are reformed without being regenerated. When I get done preaching, this shirt will be pretty wet. I could take it and hang it up and it'll dry out and it'll look pretty good. Guess what would happen? If I don't wash it, and I don't dry it, and I don't have my wife launder it, the next time I put it on and I begin to get hot, guess what's going to happen? Somebody's going to say, smell that. It's going to begin to stink. Something's going to smell bad. You know why? Because it ain't been washed. Amen. And there's a lot of people sitting on the pews of churches and carrying Bibles under their arms that have been washed. Or I'm sorry, they've been ironed, they've been starched, they've been pressed. Everything looks real good. But when the heat's on, when the fire begins to burn, when things get tough and things get tight, something begins to stink because they've not been through the wash. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No amount of knowing Bible verses, I'm for it, but that won't save you. No amount of living right, no amount of doing right can get you saved. The only thing that'll get you saved is turning from yourself to a holy God in response to His call to you in conviction for salvation. That's the only thing. Amen. You can kneel by your bed every night, say your now I lay me down to sleep prayers. And if you've never been saved, if you've never had a one-on-one personal relationship with the Lord,
you'll go to hell when you die. But preacher, my mom and daddy are good people. They're saved. Can I tell you something that'll help you? God doesn't have any grandchildren. Anybody realize that? God has no grandchildren. It's not good enough that mom and daddy's saved. It's not good enough that mom and daddy are laborers and workers in the church. It's not good enough, those things. It's a personal thing. It's one on one, one by one. Every one of us, every single person will stand before God by ourselves, and we will give an account of ourselves, and we won't be able to lean on the pastor. We won't be able to lean on the principal. We won't be able to lean on our teacher. We won't be able to lean on mama and daddy. It's a one-on-one thing. And when you stand before God, is what you've got real? Is what you've got going to be good enough when you get to judgment? Amen. Counterfeit religion. I'm almost done. Everybody look up here. I know I'm hard to look at, but it'll be all right. It won't hurt you too bad. You can believe. Matter of fact, before I was saved, I believed all these things. There was a virgin-born Jesus. Everybody believes that? Wave at me. Amen. Everybody believes he lived a sinless life? Wave at me. Everybody believes that he died on a cross for us? Wave at me. Everybody believes he got up on the third day? Wave at me. Those are historical facts. There is a group who will tell you, you believe this, you believe this, you believe this, Art, repeat this prayer after me, you're in, everything's good. But that ain't the salvation of this Bible. Those are historical facts. You can have faith in historical facts and spend eternity in hell. Everybody all right? Serious business. One of your friends was stuck in a house somewhere and it was on fire, and you knew you had what it took to get them out, what would you do? You go get them. Is that right? There's people in here who's headed for a fire. We've got what it takes to get them out. One God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. It's Jesus plus nothing, minus nothing. When you get to the judgment seat, or to the white throne judgment, whichever you make it to, as saved people will be at the judgment seat. As lost people will be at the great white throne judgment. I realize all that's kind of deep, and that may be some of our heads. The thing is, when every lost person walks up to that great white throne judgment, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are present, I believe us saved folks are going to be present as well, just not taking part. We're going to be standing back, observing. Could it be that somebody in this room would step up in front of God? And he'd say, I don't have you in the book. And that person would say, Father, why didn't you show me mercy? He'll say, I sent Jesus. Jesus, why didn't you show me grace? He said, I died for you. Ghost, why didn't you draw me? The Holy Ghost has no body. He uses believers to accomplish His work. Wouldn't it be bad if the Holy Ghost stepped down, put His arm around that person that's about to be sentenced for eternal hell and eternal fire, pointed up, said, you see that person right up there in that blue shirt? And that red tie, it's got HG on their shirt. They walk the halls with you every day. And I tried to get them to live right. I tried to get them to tell you. I nudge their heart to ask you, were you saved? They refused because it was uncool. Serious business. Eternal matters are taking place today. You don't have to spend eternity in hell. Eternity's way too long, and hell's way too hot. And you don't have to leave out of here today unprepared. Your exit art, if somebody comes and starts playing. She's going to play. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, nobody's looking around.